I read you the whole psalm, Psalm 52, verses 1 to 9. To the choir master, a maskil of David, when Doeg the Edomite came and told Saul, David has come to the house of Ahimelech. Why do you boast of evil, O mighty man? The steadfast love of God endures all the day. Your tongue plots destruction like a sharp razor, you worker of deceit. You love evil more than good and lying more than speaking what is right. You love all words that devour, O deceitful tongue. But God will break you down forever. He will snatch and tear you from your tent. He will uproot you from the land of the living. The righteous shall see and fear and shall laugh at him, saying, see the man who would not make God his refuge, but trusted in the abundance of his riches and sought refuge in his own destruction. But I am like a green olive tree in the house of God. I trust in the steadfast love of God forever and ever. I will thank you forever because you have done it. I will wait for your name, for it is good in the presence of the godly. Now when David wrote the psalm, he was angry, and rightly so. The reason for David's anger is understood when we read 1 Samuel chapter 21 and chapter 22. David has fled from King Saul, who wanted to kill him. And we read in 1 Samuel chapter 21 verses 1 to 9. Then David came to Nob, to Ahimelech the priest. And Ahimelech came to meet David trembling and said to him, why are you alone and no one with you? And David said to Ahimelech the priest, the king has charged me with a matter and said to me, let no one know anything of the matter about which I send you and with which I have charged you. I have made an appointment with the young men for such and such a place. Now then, what do you have on hand? Give me 5 loaves of bread or whatever is here. And the priest answered David, I have no common bread on hand, but there is holy bread if the young men have kept themselves from women. And David answered the priest, truly women have been kept from us as always when I go on an expedition. The vessels of the young men are holy even when it is an ordinary journey. How much more today will their vessels be holy? So the priest gave him the holy bread, for there was no bread there but the bread of the presence, which is removed from before the Lord, to be replaced by hot bread on the day it is taken away. Now, a certain man of the servants of Saul was there that day, detained before the Lord. His name was Doeg the Edomite, the chief of Saul's herdsmen. Then David said to Ahimelech, then have you not here a spear or a sword at hand? For I have brought neither my sword nor my weapons with me, because the king's business required haste. And the priest said, the sword of Goliath the Philistine, whom you struck down in the valley of Elah, behold, it is here wrapped in a cloth behind the ephod. If you'll take that, take it, for there is none but that here. There is none but that here. And David said, there is none like that, give it to me. Now when we read Psalm 52 verse 1, the first verse tells us, when Doeg the Edomite came and told Saul, David has come to the house of Ahimelech. So Doeg told Saul that David had come to the house of Ahimelech. Doeg was one of the many men who was around King Saul, who catered to his whims and inflated the ego of Saul in order to gain power and wealth. And Doeg typifies all who promote themselves at the expense of truth and justice. Doeg was an Edomite, which means he was descended from Esau, the enemy of Jacob. Hebrews chapter 12 verses 16 and 17. Hebrews 12, 16 and 17. That no one is sexually immoral or unholy like Esau, who sold his birthright for a single meal. For you know that afterward, when he decided to inherit the blessing, he was rejected. for he found no chance to repent, though he sought it with tears. Now, as for the believer in the Lord Jesus Christ today, the battle between the flesh and the spirit still goes on, and we will come to that a little later. Back to Psalm 52. In Psalm 52, we see it is quite possible that David was also writing about King Saul, who certainly fits the description of this proud, powerful tyrant described here in the Psalm. There has always been a certain amount of evil in high places, and God's people must be careful and learn to handle it in a godly manner. Now, in this Psalm, in Psalm 52, David pictures for us three contrasting scenes in Psalm 52. Number one, the sinners are boasting. We see that in verses 1 to 4. Number two, we see the saints are laughing, verses 5 to 7. The saints are laughing, verses 5 to 7. And number three, the faithful are serving, verses 8 to 9. First, we look at verses 1 to 4, where we find the sinners boasting. Psalm 52, verse 1. Why do you boast of evil, O mighty man? The steadfast love of God endures all the day. Now, this phrase, mighty man, is the equivalent of our phrase today, big shot. Big shot. Doeg and Saul, they were mighty in their own eyes, but insignificant in God's eyes. But David was insignificant in their eyes, but David was very important to God. David depended on the mercy of the Lord. In verse 1 we read, the steadfast love of God endures all the day. Now never forget that. Never forget that God's steadfast love endures all the day, meaning all through each day, through all the difficult times and the good times, you and I as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we can experience God's steadfast love throughout the day. It is important for us as believers to rely on God's steadfast love. Now please don't look for any other substitute forms of love, because people will let you down. People will let you down. Human love has limitations and inconsistencies. But when our dependence is on God's steadfast love, then we receive more and more of His love, and we can give out of what we receive. We can be assured that His love is constant and consistent, and we can receive more and more of His love by His Spirit, and His love never fails us. His steadfast love endures all the day. So learn to trust in His steadfast love, and you will experience His care for you, His concern for your life. Psalm 52, verse 8. But I am like a green olive tree in the house of God. I trust in the steadfast love of God forever and ever. So David depended on the mercy of the Lord. He depended on God's steadfast love. But Saul and his men depended on themselves and their own resources. And with tongues like sharpened razors, they issued orders and told lies without considering the consequences. Psalm 52, verses 2 to 4. Your tongue plots destruction like a sharp razor, you worker of deceit. You love evil more than good and lying more than speaking what is right. You love all words that devour, O deceitful tongue. Psalm 5, verse 9. For there is no truth in their mouth. Their inmost self is destruction. Their throat is an open grave. They flatter with their tongue. Just imagine an open grave with a dead body lying there. It'll stink. That's how the mouth is described. Their throat is an open grave. They flatter with their tongue. Psalm 55, verse 21. His speech was smooth as butter, yet war was in his heart. His words were softer than oil, yet they were drawn swords. Psalm 57, verse 4. My soul is in the midst of lions. I lie down amid fiery beasts, the children of man, whose teeth are spears and arrows, whose tongues are sharp swords. And then we find David crying out in Psalm 64, verses 2 to 4. Psalm 64 verses 2 to 4. Hide me from the secret plots of the wicked, from the throng of evildoers who whet their tongues like swords, who aim bitter words like arrows, shooting from ambush at the blameless, shooting at him suddenly and without fear. Even when they tell the truth, like Doeg did about David, such people do it with evil intent because they are possessed by a malignant spirit. They are possessed by a malignant spirit. Their words devour people and destroy people. Psalm 35 verse 25. Let them not say in their hearts, aha, our heart's desire. Let them not say, we have swallowed him up. We have swallowed him up. Now it's not difficult to find people like Doeg and Saul in our 21st century world. There are plenty of them. David cautions us about two kinds of damaging tongues. First, we must beware of a boastful tongue. Doeg was a proud man. In his boastful pride, he told Saul about David. And that cost the lives of the priests. Now, why do we boast? We like to boast because it inflates our ego. That's why we boast. But those who boast should boast in the Lord. If we boast in the Lord, we glorify Him. We magnify Him. Number two, we must beware of a sharp tongue. David says of Doeg, your tongue devises destruction like a sharp razor working deceitfully. Psalm 52 verse 2. Doeg had a lying, sharp tongue. You love evil more than good and lying more than speaking what is right. You love all words that devour, O deceitful tongue. Psalm 52 verses 3 to 4. Now, have you ever been cut by someone's sharp tongue? Or worse, have you ever cut someone with your words? What really hurts is when we cut someone with lies. Lying is a terrible sin. And Satan is a liar. He's a murderer. He wants to use our tongues to spread deceit, not righteousness. As believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, if we are not controlled by the Holy Spirit, we could also mouth words that hurt and destroy others rather than build them up. The tongue is one of the smallest parts of the body, yet it can do the most damage. James chapter 3 verses 4 to 10. James chapter 3 verses 4 to 10. Look at the ships also. Though they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. I repeat, but no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. So you see here, man cannot tame his own tongue. Only God can. Only the Holy Spirit can. So unless we are born of God's Spirit and unless we yield our tongues to God, our tongue can be totally out of control. Verse 9, with it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. But the question is, how does this happen? How is it that from the same mouth come blessing and cursing? This is because the tongue is not under the control of the Holy Spirit. When any part of our body is not under God's control, by the way, the scripture says no man can tame the tongue. In fact, we can't tame any part of our body. Only the Holy Spirit can. So when the tongue is not under the control of the Holy Spirit, when any part of our body is not under God's control, then it is under the control of the nature of sin. And Satan can use that member of the body which is not yielded to God. Therefore, the Apostle Paul tells us, Romans chapter 6, verse 12 and 13, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passions. Do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness. Members meaning members of our body. Your hand, your lips, your tongue, your mouth, every bit of your being. Offer it to God. Present it to God. Surrender your body to God. It is important, therefore, for us as believers to yield our bodies, to surrender our bodies constantly to the work of the Holy Spirit in us and through us. And this is the hallmark of the Christian life. To live in the realm of God's Spirit and not yield to the flesh. A life that is yielded to the Holy Spirit will manifest the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5 verses 22 to 26. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Now in verse 1 of Psalm 52, David magnifies the goodness of God. In Psalm 52 verse 1, we read, the steadfast love of God endures all the day. The goodness of God endures continually. That's what David is saying. When we boast about the goodness of God, our tongues are medicine that heals, not sharp razors that cut people down. Then our tongues are used to speak righteousness and not spread lies, because our tongues speak of the goodness of God under the control of the Holy Spirit. We will boast about the Lord and not ourselves. Therefore, let us yield our hearts to God. See, out of the heart comes what we speak. So we need to yield our minds, emotions, reasons, affection, our will, our bodies. Yield yourselves to God. So that our tongues, we need to yield ourselves to God. We need to yield our hearts to God so that our tongues can be used by God for blessing. Then when others slander us, we will not reciprocate with our tongues. Instead, we will use our tongues to glorify God and to speak of His goodness. The next picture that David gives us is that the saints are laughing. The saints are laughing. Psalm 52 verses 5 to 7. But God will break you down forever. He will snatch and tear you from your tent. He will uproot you from the land of the living. The righteous shall see and fear and shall laugh at him, saying, see the man who would not make God his refuge, but trusted in the abundance of his riches and sought refuge in his own destruction. Now verse 5 is the central verse of the psalm. And verse 5 marks the turning point in David's experience as he contemplated the wickedness of the human heart. Psalm 52 verse 5. But God will break you down. Forever, he will snatch and tear you from your tent. He will uproot you from the land of the living. David was confident that God would one day judge Saul. God would judge Saul. God would judge Doeg and all who follow that evil philosophy of life. God will judge. Note those powerful verbs there. Break you down, snatch you up, tear you away, uproot you. The New American Standard Bible makes those phrases very clear. Break you down, snatch you up, tear you away, uproot you. Job chapter 18 gives us a similar description. And I'll just read a few verses for you from Job 18. Job chapter 18 verses 5 to 11. Indeed, the light of the wicked is put out, and the flame of his fire does not shine. The light is dark in his tent, and his lamp above him is put out. His strong steps are shortened, and his own schemes throw him down, for he is cast into a net by his own feet, and he walks on its mesh. A trap seizes him by the heel, a snare lays hold of him. A rope is hidden for him in the ground, a trap for him in the path. Terrors frighten him on every side and chase him at his heels. Job 18 verse 14, he is torn from the tent in which he trusted and is brought to the king of terrors. Job 18 verse 16, his roots dry up beneath and his branches wither above. The righteous would only see but not experience this devastation. Psalm 52 verse 6, the righteous shall see and fear. The righteous will stand in awe of the holy wrath of God. Then they would laugh in derision at the humiliating fall of these pompous leaders. All these egoistic, pompous leaders who have denied God, who have rebelled against God, who speak against God's people, they will be judged. Psalm 52 verse 6 to 7, the righteous shall see and fear and shall laugh at him, saying, see the man who would not make God his refuge, but trusted in the abundance of his riches and sought refuge in his own destruction. Psalm 2 verse 4, he who sits in the heavens laughs. The Lord holds them in derision. What Saul and Doeg did to the priestly community at Nob is so tragic. It is found in 1 Samuel chapter 22 verses 6 to 23. 1 Samuel 22 verses 6 to 23. Now Saul heard that David was discovered and the men who were with him. Saul was sitting at Gibeah under the tamarisk tree on the height with his spear in his hand, and all his servants were standing about him. And Saul said to his servants who stood about him, hear now, people of Benjamin, will the son of Jesse give every one of you fields and vineyards? Will he make you all commanders of thousands and commanders of hundreds, that all of you have conspired against me? No one discloses to me when my son makes a covenant with the son of Jesse. None of you is sorry for me or discloses to me that my son has stirred up my servant against me to lie in wait as at this day. Then answered Doeg the Edomite, who stood by the servants of Saul, I saw the son of Jesse coming to Nob to Ahimelech the son of Ahitub, and he inquired of the Lord for him and gave him provisions and gave him the sword of Goliath the Philistine. Then the king sent to summon Ahimelech the priest, the son of Ahitub, and all his father's house, the priests who were at Nob, and all of them came to the king. And Saul said, hear now, son of Ahitub. And he answered, here I am, my lord. And Saul said to him, Why have you conspired against me, you and the son of Jesse, in that you have given him bread and a sword and have inquired of God for him, so that he has risen against me to lie in wait as at this day? Then Ahimelech answered the king, and who among all your servants is so faithful as David, who is the king's son-in-law and captain over your bodyguard and honored in your house? Is today the first time that I have inquired of God for him? No, let not the king impute anything to his servant or to all the house of my father, for your servant has known nothing of all this, much or little. And the king said, you shall surely die, Ahimelech, you and all your father's house. And the king said to the guard who stood about him, turn and kill the priests of the Lord, because their hand also is with David. And they knew that he fled and did not disclose it to me. But the servants of the king would not put out their hand to strike the priests of the Lord. Then the king said to Doeg, you turn and strike the priests. And Doeg the Edomite turned and struck down the priests. And he killed on that day 85 persons who wore the linen ephod. And Nob, the city of the priests, he put to the sword, both man and woman, child and infant, ox, donkey and sheep, he put to the sword. But one of the sons of Ahimelech, the son of Ahitub, named Abiathar, escaped and fled after David. And Abiathar told David that Saul had killed the priests of the Lord. And David said to Abiathar, I knew on that day when Doeg the Edomite was there that he would surely tell Saul, I have occasioned the death of all the persons of your father's house. Stay with me. Do not be afraid, for he who seeks my life seeks your life. With me you shall be in safe keeping. But sinners ultimately fall into the pits they dig for others. Sinners ultimately fall into the pits they dig for others. The Lord will judge them. Psalm 9 verse 15. The nations have sunk in the pit that they made, in the net that they hid, their own foot has been caught. Proverbs 26 verses 24 to 28. Whoever hates disguises himself with his lips and harbors deceit in his heart. When he speaks graciously, believe him not, for there are seven abominations in his heart. Though his hatred be covered with deception, his wickedness will be exposed in the assembly. Whoever digs a pit will fall into it, and a stone will come back on him who starts it rolling. A lying tongue hates its victims, and a flattering mouth works ruin. Proverbs 29 verse 6. An evil man is ensnared in his transgression, but a righteous man sings and rejoices. One of the problems with humanistic thinking and philosophy is that it causes people to think that they are self-sufficient. That is what humanism does. They think that they don't need any outside help. They feel they can do it. They think that in and of themselves, they have all that they need for life and for death. And David describes this kind of a person in Psalm 52 verse 7. See the man who would not make God his refuge, but trusted in the abundance of his riches and sought refuge in his own destruction. That's the description of a self-sufficient person. He doesn't know how dangerous his situation really is. God is not his strength. He trusts in his own wickedness. He is strengthened by his own sin. It's so sad. When life is built on sin, it has no foundation. Remember the parable Jesus spoke about the two men who built houses. That's recorded in Matthew chapter 7 verses 24 to 27. The foolish man built his house on the sand. He did not obey God. The wise man built his house on the rock. He obeyed God. When the storm came, the house that was built on the rock remained strong and firm, but the house built on the sand collapsed. God was not this self-sufficient person's strength. God was not this self-sufficient person's strength. God was not his confidence. He depended on his own wealth. He depended on his wealth. Most people today think that money can solve every problem. This person here in the Psalm 52 verse 7, trusted in the abundance of his riches. That's what this person did, trusted in the abundance of his riches, Psalm 52 verse 7. And what happened to him? Psalm 52 verse 5. But God will break you down forever. He will snatch and tear you from your tent. He will uproot you from the land of the living. Now we can see this person in his home, surrounded by his wealth, but God reaches in and plucks him out. This person looks like a beautiful tree, but God says, I am going to uproot you. But the righteous get the last laugh. Psalm 52 verse 6. The righteous shall see and fear and shall laugh at him, saying, you see, God is the strength and confidence of the believer in Christ. We must be careful not to be like the self-sufficient person who trusts in the substitutes that the world has to offer for strength and for confidence. That's humanism. Let the word of God permeate your mind and fill your heart. Place yourself in God's care and experience him establishing you. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 verse 3. But the Lord is faithful. He will establish you and guard you against the evil one. Then we see David gives us the picture of the faithful people that are serving God. The faithful that are serving God. Psalm 52 verses 8 and 9. But I am like a green olive tree in the house of God. I trust in the steadfast love of God forever and ever. I will thank you forever because you have done it. I will wait for your name, for it is good in the presence of the godly. The contrast is clear. The wicked are like uprooted trees, but the godly are like flourishing olive trees that are fruitful and beautiful. Doeg would perish, rejected by the Lord, but David and his dynasty will be safe in the house of the Lord. It's possible that the tabernacle at Nob had olive trees growing around it, and David would have seen them. The olive tree lives for many years and keeps bearing fruit. Psalm 1 verse 3. He is like a tree planted by the streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. Psalm 92 Psalm 92 verses 12 to 15. The righteous flourish like the palm tree and grow like a cedar in Lebanon. They are planted in the house of the Lord. They flourish in the courts of our God. They still bear fruit in old age. They are ever full of sap and green to declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock and there is no unrighteousness in him. Jeremiah chapter 17 verses 7 to 8. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. He is like a tree planted by water that sends out its roots by the stream and does not fear when heat comes, for its leaves remain green and is not anxious in the year of drought, for it does not cease to bear fruit. Certainly David was a blessing to the nation while he lived, and long after he died, he is a blessing to us even today, because we have the book of Psalms and the writings that of David. He trusted God's loving kindness and the Lord did not fail him, and he never failed to give God the glory. Psalm 52 verse 9. I read from the King James Version. Psalm 52 verse 9. I will praise thee forever because thou hast done it, and I will wait on thy name, for it is good before thy saints. The phrase wait on thy name, which is translated in that way in the King James Version, wait on thy name. That means to hope and depend on the character of God. Nothing else. To hope and depend on the character of God as expressed in his great name. There are so many names that describe God, and all of those names describe his character. The psalm ends with David promising to praise the Lord in the congregation as soon as God establishes him in his kingdom. So he says, I will wait on thy name, El Shaddai, the Lord God Almighty. So many names. Elohim, the Lord who is God of all power, God of all majesty. There are so many names in the Old Testament we find which describe the character of God. Psalm 52 verse 9. I will thank you forever because you have done it. I will wait for your name, for it is good in the presence of the godly. This means that our private victories, the private victories that God gives us, should be announced publicly for the encouragement of God's people. That's testimony. Meanwhile, though evil may seem to triumph, we must continue to obey and serve the Lord and not get discouraged. Don't forget, the last laugh belongs to the Lord's people. David wrote, but I am like a green olive tree in the house of God. I trust in the steadfast love of God forever and ever. Psalm 52 verse 8. David compared himself to something permanent in contrast to the wicked who will be uprooted from the land of the living. David's permanent position was also a privileged position because he was planted in the house of the Lord. The most important part of the tree is the root system because it absorbs nourishment from the soil. In addition, it also provides stability and strength in the storm. And David is saying that he is planted in the house of the Lord. It's a permanent position, a privileged position, because he was planted in the house of the Lord. That means his resource is God himself. We can discern what kind of root system, people have when the winds of life blow harder. Some people are like tumbleweeds. They just rootlessly blow from one place to another. David was stable and also productive. He was like a green olive tree in the house of God, bearing fruit for the glory of God. Fruitfulness is one of the great joys in the Christian life. And Jesus used the image of the vine to tell believers to produce an abundance of fruit. John 15 verse 5. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. So this is why it is so important for us to be abiding in Christ, to be in step with the Holy Spirit, to live a life that is controlled by the Holy Spirit. Look at these symbols here. A green tree symbolizes freshness and power. Olives contain oil, which is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. An olive tree in the house of God is an ancient picture of the believer's position. You are permanent. You are privileged. You are productive as believers in Jesus Christ. That's what we are. Permanent, privileged, productive. You bear fruit for God's glory. Only when you yield yourselves to Him and you allow the Holy Spirit to work in and through your life, that's when you bear fruit for God's glory. No wonder David ended this psalm by praising the Lord. Psalm 52 verse 9. I will thank you forever because you have done it. I will wait for your name, for it is good in the presence of the godly. Let's bow our heads in prayer.